This time on Kawaii-Fi Radio, Channing Tatum is in Demon Slayer. Magic Mike is in the Demon Castle.
I wish he played Magic Mike in the Demon Castle. That'd be hilarious.
We talk about that Kyle fantasy anime.
I love a good time loop.
Funny you say that.
I'm in it. And we visit the disturbing world of Takopi's original sin.
You look at the picture, you're like, oh, that's very cute.
Yeah, look closer. Like, look closely at the characters and you'll notice that, no, this is not a fun anime. Grave of the Fireflies, think of that.
Yeah.
Avalanche!
Tetsuo!
Kaneda!
Onita!
It's over 9,000!
Nani?
Configure the language logic interface for Japanese.
Kawaii-Fi Radio!
Konnichiwa and welcome. You tuned in to Kawaii-Fi Radio, the podcast where we dive into the world of anime, manga, and all things otaku culture. I'm Kyle. With me is Aaron.
Yo.
We're the last two standing this week because we're the only ones that managed to actually finish what we're talking about that I'm aware of. I think Deepa might have two episodes left. Kenny went, nah, this ain't for me. We're talking about Takopi Original Sin. Fair warning right now, this is not for the kids. This is rated R. If you are young, impressionable, or have experienced mental health trauma, this is not one for you. I do apologize in advance. This is...
very confronting.
Very confronting. Yeah, it's very dark. It's just finished airing. And honestly, we were like, you know what? We kind of need to talk about this because it is so out of left field. It's six episodes,
yeah,
five episodes.
Which is so unusual.
Yeah, it's like... but yeah, look, we'll get into it in a moment because, yeah, there's a lot to talk about with this show that we weren't expecting to make. Like, after that first episode, I was like, maybe not. But after finishing it, it's like, okay, I kind of see what you were going for here.
Yeah, don't be deceived by how cute it is.
Oh, don't be deceived by how dark it is either. Like, it's...
Oh, no, I just mean, like, yeah, if you look it up and, like, you look at the picture, you're like, oh, that's very cute.
Yeah, look closer. Like, look closely at the characters and you'll notice that, no, this is not a fun anime. Grave of the Fireflies, think of that.
Yeah.
So if you are new to the podcast, hello, welcome. Hi to all our regular listeners. Hope you're all keeping well. We're on YouTube where you can see our ugly mugs and our beautiful mugs as well. But let's quickly start off with what we've been watching.
I have no idea how old I am or where I came from.
Daddy! Ohayo!
Hey, guys! I gotta go!
I have to know!
Hooray! I did the thing!
Oni-chan, nani wo miru?
What we're watching. Aaron has informed me that I did not actually have my mug propped at hand for making the ugly mug joke, so that didn't work very well. So you're just going to have to put up with these beautiful faces.
I mean, also, we talked about ugly mug epic fighter previously.
We did, actually.
Sorry.
Yeah. Now, I actually have watched the first couple episodes of that. Not necessarily for me.
But it's fun.
It's funny. Like, yeah. But I just don't have the time to dedicate to it.
Entirely fair.
Aaron, we're going to finally talk about it.
It is time.
We're going to talk about New Saga, which
New
is...
Saga. Kyle's anime.
Well, it's not my anime. I haven't even watched it. But you've decided it's about me.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the main character's called Kyle.
Okay, so what is New Saga?
Okay, so it starts at the end of the story.
Okay, so it's like a skip back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, the hero has finally overcome his whole journey. He's facing down with the Demon King. One by one, you see all of his party members fall, mm-hmm, and it takes everything he's got. He defeats the Demon King, and then he passes out from blood loss. Next thing he knows, he wakes up, and it's like 5 years ago, I think.
But did he die?
Well, that's the thing.
I think he died and got reincarnated back at his save point.
He wakes up with a gem.
A gem?
Yep. And so the first episode, he dedicates like all of his time to figuring out what this gem is.
This is New Game Plus.
Yeah, basically. no, literally.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just joking, but okay.
So he goes and he finds out what it is, and it's this huge source of mana that does allow you to rewind time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he kept all of his memories and...
Did he keep his skills?
No.
Okay.
But he does a lot of shadow training, and because he's got all that experience in his head, mm-hmm, like, obviously his muscles don't have that experience, but it's all ingrained in here.
Yeah.
And so he encounters people from his previous life, and one of them's an elf in this world. Because you know how elves always have fun little fantasy rules?
Yeah.
So in this world, elves have their real name, which has power over them.
Oh, yeah.
And their public name. And so he sees this elf that he knows from his past life, and he drops her real name, and she's like, I will kill you. And he's like, sleep.
And she wakes up and she's like, oh, I'm really gonna kill you now.
Basically. And he has to basically enter this like huge contract with her to be like, hey, yeah, I won't actually use your real name and I won't tell anyone your real name, but just travel with me.
Yeah.
And he uses his knowledge of the past to sort of shortcut everything. So like he goes to a dungeon where he gets a legendary sword by digging. Instead of going through like the labyrinth for it, he just digs into the back room.
He's like, I know where it is. I know where it comes out.
Yeah. And the sword links to his memories and it's like, oh, you do know me. And he's like, yeah, just shut up for now though. Nobody else knows.
Is it a talking sword or a psychic sword?
It shoots out a projection of a queen from the past.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And she's very sassy.
That checks.
Yeah.
That checks.
But yeah, it's very typical, like, fantasy anime. I don't know if I'd count it as a reincarnation.
Is it Isekai? Like, was he originally from another world, or is it just a time loop?
Just a time loop.
Oh.
Yeah. But he only goes back the once that I've seen, so.
So it's kind of akin to Erased, but, like, so, you know, I think you've seen Erased, where it's, okay, it's the guy who gets the opportunity to go back in time to when he was like six and save a girl. And this, he, in that storyline, he manages to do it, I think, three times total, but that was it. But yeah, it's the same sort of principle where he has the future knowledge still in his body. Obviously, as a child, he can't, you know, do what he would do as an adult. But yeah.
Time loops, man.
Yeah, I love a good time loop.
Funny you say that.
I'm in it. So the main character's called Kyle.
Yeah, main character's called Kyle. He's got all of his childhood friends with him, and they're all like, how does he know all these things? But obviously they're not. They don't think that, because you would never think that in a standard situation. If somebody's just got like really good information and like knows what the hell they're doing, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to stay out of your way. You do your thing. I'll back you up.
Yeah. So, recommend watching?
If you like those traditional like fantasy actions, definitely.
And it sounds like a little bit of subverting the normal direction of storytelling. So, like, we will go to this dungeon and get this sword, and we'll go over here and collect this party member.
Yeah, it's like doing a new game plus.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that's on Crunchyroll from memory.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you about City, the animation, which is created by... It's the manga that was created after Nichikoi.
Nichijou.
By same mangaka, same team. City the Animation is just basically a gag series set in the city.
Oh, lovely.
That's all it is. It is, you think there's a main character, but there kind of isn't. Like,
the city is the main character.
Yeah. Like, what happens in the city is the main story. So you've got like the first episode, you've got the main girl who's mentioned in the synopsis for it, and she's basically, you know, she doesn't want to take a job because that would mean she can't go around adventuring in the city as an adult. Yeah. And then she's got a friend who's a photographer, and that story overlaps with another character. It's very much kind of like the interconnecting stories of about 30 different characters that overlap over the space of the story. So like the first episode, you see a guy who he's running like a sober restaurant, and they accidentally...
Not a drunk restaurant?
No. Very, very sober. though their behavior could make you think they were drunk.
Oh.
So like the gag is that he's made like the I don't know if it's a sober or like it's not meat. It's teppanyaki. It's like a teppanyaki noodles thing. And he goes to deliver it and trips, and it goes straight in the guy's bag. And he's like, what do we do? What do we do? He gets his assistant to distract the guy all during this and gives him some free sake and a free beer on the house while he quickly makes up another one and goes to go deliver it and two in the bag. And he's like, what do we do? And it's like, and then the guy gets up and leaves and doesn't take the bag. And his son comes home. It's his bag. He's left it. And his son's like, why are there two things in my bag? You know, like these silly, goofy gag moments. Yeah. And like, one character chasing another around the city going, you left me an IOU for $20 and took $20 out of my wallet. What are you doing? Like, you know, or there's the entire soccer team who like, they know that they do like this classic yelling thing is like, who are we? This team. And what do we do? Defend that guy because he's the only good player. It's like, we'll protect him from everything. We need him to get to the finals. We have to protect him at every possible cost. We are going to be his protection racket as he goes to school, to work, and everything. And then literally on the way to the pitch, the guy falls over, breaks his leg. And then they're all just crying. Like, it's real dumb, but real fun.
It's hard for comedy to translate from language to language.
Mm.
So it's fun seeing like comedy that does transcend all of that, like culture and language. Mm. And
just, I mean, I still think that comedy does transcend language. It's just that you don't necessarily understand it as much as you'd like. I think we all kind of laugh at the same things.
Yeah. Like slapstick comedy is universal.
Yeah. Oh, well, dirty jokes are universal as well. Look at all of the poo jokes and the pee jokes. Like, come on. Like,
Toilet humor
is universal. Yeah. Like, a lot of it is universal. And while there might be stuff which is, you know, embedded in the languages like puns, once
or
you understand
like impersonations
them,
and stuff.
Yeah, once
like
you understand it, then it instantly makes sense and it's in line with other types of comedy from other countries.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this one's it's fast paced. So like if you're not quick at reading subtitles, it might be a little hard. But it's fun. Like you're just kind of like, what did I just watch? And you got like a pair of girls who are both best friends, both at school, and they're just goofing around like, oh, we must we're gonna wait at the shrine, hide in the bush and wait for someone to make a wish and then make that wish come true. And of course a police officer comes over and says, I just want everything to be calm for a couple of days. And she's like, what are you going to do with that? She's like, pretends to sleep. And she's like, the Buddha technique. And it's like, what am I watching? What are you doing? So yeah, it's really good. I don't think it's something that's very bingeable. I think it has its places like a palate cleanser after you've watched some of your heavier stuff.
Oh.
Like, it works really well to kind of like make you go, what? Just like Nichijou did. So Nichijou. So if you like Nichijou, you will like this. If you'd like Shikanoka Noka Noka Kosh Tan Tan, you will like this.
Oh man, classic.
Like, yeah. And same with Pop Team Epic and stuff like that. It's a similar concept and style of idea, but not as dumb.
Four panel comics.
Literally four coma. So yeah, look, highly recommend it. Crunchyroll as well. So yeah, if you've been watching or reading something you've really enjoyed, drop it in the comments. We'd love to know. We've been reading a lot of different mangas at the moment and playing catch up on a lot of stuff. I'm trying to remember what the weird one I sent you were was.
Oh, the one with the boss.
Yeah, where it's just like, I think the line for it is like, this manga has no straight man. Everyone's crazy. You're like, I'm sorry, what? I'll remember it and I'll pop it somewhere. But I'll remember it in the news, obviously.
Yeah. And controversy.
And another controversy. Kyle interrupted the flow. Either way, let's talk about something that's not as comedy in that you could probably watch this after to like cleanse your palate after watching it.
Yeah, definitely do.
We'll be right back.
Hawaii Fire Radio.
And now for our feature presentation.
Now featuring
Snack.
Schmack.
Schmack. we've used the now featuring sting a lot more recently, which is kind of funny. We'll be using it next week as well, because next week's even sillier too.
Oh yeah, this season just a wacky man.
We've got some weird stuff. So, Takopi's original spin, which is original sin, not spin.
Takopi's original spin would have been a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, a lot more lighthearted.
Yeah, Takopi no Genzai. Now, this is based on a manga. It ran for only 16 chapters. Allegedly, it seems like that was on purpose. I haven't read the manga. We've only seen the anime, so we don't know for certain whether or not it was a premature end, which is why it ended the way the show does. But this, the manga ran from...
I don't think they would have done that since it was only six episodes.
Yeah, the manga ran from 2021 to 2022. It's drama, sci-fi, psychological, time travel, and it's by Studio Anishia, which haven't done much. They've been like a support studio on a lot of things, but they've never been really like the lead for anything super notable. It's mostly been like short projects. Like, for example, they were a producer for the recent reboot of Spice and Wolf. And then the other three I do not recognize. Something called Masara, Verse N, Episode N, and Protector. And then a lot of tiny projects. One of them looks Palworldy. Bitty. Palworldy or Pokemon-y? I can't really quite tell which one that one's from, but...
Are they guns?
No.
Pokemon.
It is from Pokemon, you are right.
Nailed it!
It's the one that they introduced in Sword and Shield.
Oh, yeah, that little guy. Pawmot.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. But yeah, they produced that. But a lot of the stuff they're not the studio for, like, yeah. So they're kind of... Yeah, I don't know. They seem like a fairly new studio, 2018. They kicked off by the sounds of it then. So yeah, like they're fairly new. But yeah, let's talk about Takopi because this is...
Heavy.
Super heavy. So again, trigger warnings for this. This mentions, again, not for kids. It does mention self-harm. It does mention...
essay. Pretty sure it does, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't, but it does feature domestic violence.
Yeah.
And it does feature, shall we say, I'm trying to think of the right word that doesn't start with S for self-inflicted early life ending.
Yes. Yeah. Unaliving.
Yeah, I don't want to say that because it's just... yeah, look, this is real dark. Like, all of the characters in this show have serious problems.
Oh yeah, and like they really get into it as well.
Yeah,
and, like,
they don't shy away from it at all.
No.
If you have a look at the mangas, the two volumes are focusing on the two girls, both of them crying. So you've got Marina and Shizuka. Shizuka's the main girl who's got the black hair, and Marina is the blonde-haired girl who bullies her in school. There's some more to it than that, however. So a squid-like creature known as a Happian, so like happy but it's a life form, leaves his home planet with a desire to spread happiness across the universe. He lands on Earth, but quickly finds himself in danger of captivity by its inhabitants. Fortunately, he's found by an unsmiling little girl called Shizuka Kusei, who feeds him and names him Takopi. Feeling indebted, he decides to do everything in his power to bring a smile to her face. Now... probably the easiest way to explain this, we're not going to spoil how this ends. We're not going to spoil any of the major twists in it. We're not going to tell you which piece of behavior from Takopi is his original sin, because you will find that out in due course by watching it. You will understand there is one point in particular and you'll be like, that's what they meant.
It's not the one that you think it is, either.
No, it's not either. The task for this is easier said than done. Shizuka's bullied by her classmates. She does not have a father. Her mother is never home, and that's because her mother is an escort, and her mother is escorting the father of the girl who bullies her. So, pretty bad situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The gravity of these issues obviously fly over Takopi's head because he doesn't understand humans. And even so, Shizuka does have one source of happiness, her dog Chappie. The connection between Shizuka and Chappie share only increases Takopi's desire to make the girl smile. However, the moment we heard that, it was the moment we went, that dog's not going to make it to the end of the series. And there's a lot of unintended consequences by Takopi's behavior and a lot of horrible things that happen to all of the characters involved.
Well, all of the children.
Yeah.
Because
well, even the parents.
Yeah, but the parents should be protecting the children.
They should be, but like I think this is meant to be that everything is a bad situation and it's
yeah. Like they've explained why these children are behaving this way, and then they explain why the parents are behaving that way.
Mm.
And it's like I still don't like it.
Yeah. Like the parents are awful. Like
yes.
Every single one of the parents is awful in this. So essentially you've got three main kids in this. You've got Shizuka, the main girl, and Marina, the girl who bullies her. You also have Naoki, who he is the smart kid in their class, and he's
the class president.
Yeah, he's trying to look out for Shizuka, and in doing so puts himself in harm's way. But he's got his own issues with self-worth because his brother, his older brother, is amazing at everything. And because of that, he's trying to live up to that and his mother's forcing him to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a look at Marina. Her home's so broken. So broken. This is an exploration of the human psyche when everyone is having a horrible time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a... There's a reason behind everyone's actions. It doesn't justify it, but there is a reason behind it.
Mm. Yeah. Apparently, this like exploded in popularity once it finished in Japan. Like everyone ended up buying it and you know watching it and reviewing it and so on. It became massive in 2022, and you know it could have dragged on for years.
Yeah.
As several people have pointed out on the My Anime List comments as well, but yeah. The author just went, this is where I'm going to end it, apparently, by the sounds of it, which is great to see.
Yep, short and sweet was the right call to make.
Mm-hmm. So, look, there's a lot in this show that is very hard to handle. And the first episode's 45, 50 minutes long, almost an hour. It's a double first episode.
I thought it was 42.
Yeah, that might be it, yeah. So, like, obviously, you don't have, like, the opening sequence or outro sequence twice. But, yeah, so, like, it's...
A lot.
It's a lot. Like... Would I recommend it? It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It'd be on a person-by-person basis.
Oh, for sure. And you'd have to make sure that that person was, like, not going to get too affected by it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we watched the entire thing in one night. We sat down and basically watched it for 3 hours. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and...
Was it 3 hours?
It was about 2.5 to 3.
Jeez.
But, yeah, it's... The themes are heavy. And you feel for these characters, but then there's also like the, without spoiling anything, unsurprisingly, bad things happen to each of these characters during the story. And they've got their interpersonal conflicts, and that leads to a culmination around episode 3 of something really bad happening. But that's not even the worst thing that happens in the series.
No.
And you start learning about... what's been driving these characters and the things that they've had to go through. And like Shizuka in particular is the classic, you know, sad girl who they literally write, you know, graffiti her desk and her bag and, you know, tell her that she'd be better off if she never came back to school ever again and stuff like that. But then you've got Marina who's dealing with the fact that she knows her dad is going out with her with Shizuka's mum, and it's breaking her parents' relationship apart, and she's watching her mum descend into madness.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is no one who has no fault in this equation. Like even the kids, they are acting out based on the environments they're in.
Yeah.
And
they're replicating the behaviors that they see at home.
Yeah.
Because the way that Marina does a lot of things is exactly the way that her mother does them.
Mm-hmm. And Naoki's the same. The way he does a lot of things is based on what his brother does as, like, you know, a way to try and live up to him. And in Shizuka, she has no role model at home. So she sees her mum being an escort and being around men and thinks that, you know, making people be... do things for you or be dependent on you is the right way to approach relationships and,
yeah.
you know, interpersonal relationships. So it's really tough to watch. But once you get past episode 2, I think from there you're just like, I need to know.
Yeah.
No, I need to know how this is going to end.
This one isn't one of those four-episode rule ones. This is a two-episode rule.
Yeah. I mean, well, the first episode's two episodes already. Yeah. So, like, yeah, like... I have so much to say about this, but I can't spoil it.
Yeah, no, I'm the same, because there's a lot of things where I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this, but like, obviously you can't mention a lot of things.
So one thing we can say is that Takopi's story is kind of explained throughout the anime.
It's not linear.
No. Takopi has a whole load of toys / tools which are used to... he believes bring happiness, and he's obviously very naive. Like, he has no concept of, you know, what these people are going from, because he hasn't experienced it in his life. They're the happy people, and they're always happy, and nothing's possibly wrong. You know,
it's one of those culture shock things. Like, he goes from a place where everything's happy, and you know, the most inconvenient thing is somebody taking somebody else's piece of paper.
Yeah,
because they want attention.
Yeah, and then in this scenario, he actually experiences full blown fear and threat front on and can't avoid it. And he, you know, he's never experienced that before. He has no concept for it or how to respond.
Then he freezes, he cries, he screams, he complies, because he doesn't know. He's got no experience.
Yeah. So it's pretty heavy. Now, this is not going to be a view for everyone, especially not all of our audience. I think this is... it's got a brilliant premise. I don't think the ending necessarily makes a massive amount of sense. Like, it does make sense, but it feels like there was a step missing in that explanation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to really enjoy about the way these themes are... well, not enjoy, but to respect about the way these themes are handled.
Yeah, like, these things need to be brought up and discussed, because otherwise when people do it, they shame everyone else into keeping quiet. Whereas if this is brought up with people, then they understand and they can communicate it.
Yeah, I think, like, I think if you, especially if you haven't been in any form of interpersonal conflict, a lot of this is probably going to just seem like you're watching someone's sadness fetish. And, you know, if you've never experienced anything that really makes you feel awful or question your life, it might not be something that deeply connects with you, I feel. Whereas for me, like, a lot of this, like, I have depression. Like, I live with depression, have done for a long time. But, like, because of that, like, a lot of these elements, like, I connect with them. It's why I connect with Evangelion so much. Like, Shinji has depression. My God, does that boy have depression? No way, right? Who would have thought? Surely Shinji, not.
He's the happiest guy around.
But, like, you know, I was watching that when I was 14, 15, and, you know, when I went through puberty, depression hit me hard. So it connected with me on that character, like the reluctant hero's journey and that sort of stuff that, you know, Shinji goes through. So... similar thing happened with this, where I was like, oof, like, my life is nowhere near as bad as what these girls and that boy are going through. Like, I am not in that situation, but I can empathize, with what they're going through and the feelings that they're feeling. And, yeah.
So, sympathize is when you can identify it and you can feel sorry for them, but empathy is when you feel it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
because a lot of people don't know the difference between sympathy and empathy. So here's your Kawaii fun facts.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But yeah, like, for me, it's like, I'm watching, like, I remember, like, some of the disappointment I felt with, like, friends and when relationships between me and other people went bad, or, you know, feelings of betrayal I've experienced from people who have let me down or literally went out of their way to try and take something from me. And this kind of really hit quite a few of those, like, little notches that are sitting there that, you know, you're like,
you kind of forget because there's bigger notches around.
Exactly.
And then you're like, ooh, ow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, like, you know, it's been done in a way that it's very much like you'd expect the kids in this show to be innocent, because they're like, they're definitely like junior school, because they've got the big red backpacks that are associated with that.
I think it's more that they don't understand the full repercussions.
I mean, there's that too, but then they're meant to be innocent, right? But they're not. Takopi is the innocent one.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's shifted it across one. Like, these are kids who shouldn't be dealing with these type of things. Like, when you think about in, like, a modern society where everyone's, like, ideal modern society, I should say, where everyone's supported and has, you know, a loving family and can relate to everyone, you know, the ideal.
And which, children are protected.
And children are protected. This is not that. And in the case of this, it's literally Takopi going into that situation, being the innocent child that needs to be protected while trying to help others and being subjected to what these other kids are being subjected to.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts. Like, yeah. Is it a good hurt? I don't know. Like, it's going to depend on what your experience and lived experiences are going to be, isn't it?
It hits you right in the feels.
It really does. And, like, there are plenty of anime that we've watched over the years where they go for this same approach and they don't really nail the landing. It just kind of feels like, you know, how much can we put this character through? Whereas this feels like the way they established the situation and the environment that these kids are in and the parents and everything that surrounds them feels real.
Mm.
And that's probably why it hits so differently. Because, yeah, like, ow. Like,
very much so.
Mm. But yeah, can we recommend it for people? I don't know.
It honestly depends if you can withstand that kind of thing and if you enjoy that kind of thing. Like, this is definitely for specific people, but I would not suggest it for everyone.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, no, like, if you're not in a solid mind state, if you are easily triggered, if you have dealt with a lot of confronting things in your life, I would strongly suggest you don't watch it.
Yeah. I mean, like,
but also, if you have no experience with those things, I would also say don't watch it.
Yeah. It might just make you sad. You might not actually get anything out of it. It's interesting because Crunchyroll actually have content advisories for it. Animated violence, bullying themes, coarse language, mature themes, and strong suicide scenes. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's... Yeah.
Did we talk about Takopi's tools and what they were?
We didn't, but he's got gadgets that he can use that are designed to make, you know, happy gadgets, to make people happy.
Little happy toys.
Yeah. He's got, like,
the reconciliation ribbon?
Yeah. Which is, like, you know, you tie two people's hands between it, which is what's used on the artwork of the two volumes of the book.
And also the opening.
Yeah. And it's used to, like, connect people. The opening, like, watch it closely. The first time you watch it, it's like, oh, this just seems really happy. If you go back and rewatch it and look closely, look in the background, look at the characters and how dirty they are.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the little telltale signs that are hidden right in front of you, because it's masterfully done. Like, it's like, oh, this looks like a really happy anime. Nuh-uh.
No. And then there's the wing bands.
Yeah, like, you can let someone fly, but it's got a weight allowance and stuff like that.
There's the pen that makes the noise of a Neptunian rabbit.
Yep, which is just kind of like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I get, like, it's meant to be, it does serve a purpose. Every gadget serves a purpose in this thing. But, yeah. And then
happy flower.
Oh, yeah. The happy flower makes
whoever's wearing it appear as a flower.
Mm-hmm. Tokyo Weekend has described it as the dark version of Doraemon. I'm like,
not wrong.
Not wrong, but oof. Takopi's original sin is literally a direct Doraemon reference with all the gadgets and the sounds of the gadgets, apparently. So that's pretty messed up. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, this article may have spoilers. You don't say.
Kyle's doing all the proofreading, so you guys don't have to. Like, obviously, if you have seen this and you do want to talk about it, jump in our Discord, talk with us about it. We can't discuss a lot of things here.
Yeah.
Because it's confronting. B, we're a PG podcast.
PG podcast.
And C, I'm pretty sure YouTube would not be very happy if we did that. And also, we want you, if you're in the respectable mind space for it, to watch it and get your own experience from it. like outside of our opinions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because our opinions are obviously just ours. You need to form your own on like all of these things and figure out where it stands with you and how it resonates with you. Because like, although you may watch us because we've got similar opinions, we still are going to differ on some things.
Yeah. I mean, I found the list of the happy tools, but yeah, we'll come back to those. Takopi is most likely inspired by Doraemon from the franchise of the same name, who also comes to help the main character with advanced tools, except Doraemon's a robotic cat who comes from the future, whereas Takopi is an alien from another planet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of similarities that have been listed for it. The disguised form where Takopi is impersonating Marina is often referred to as Maripi by the fandom. The author of the series actually acknowledged the term and said, yep, okay, fair enough. So that's from the transformation palette, one of the tools. So he can impersonate another person by using the gadget, and he just needs like a bit of hair or like, you know, some genetic material from them. It kind of makes me think of like Polyjuice potion from Harry Potter, except that it's like a palette where you just clip it closed and you transform. And then there's the happy camera, which is when a photo is taken, the user can rewind time back to that specific time the photo was taken. So it's the it's noted by Shizuka that the camera is a lot heavier than it appears, and
that explains stuff.
It explains a lot. Like it's mentioned as part of the storytelling. Like, and this is the thing. Like, a lot of things are said in the series where you're like, that seems like a bit of a useless tidbit of information, but nothing that's said is useless. Everything in this has a purpose. Everything that is said has a purpose. So yeah, it's kind of, it's a little bit interesting because
you never know what they're going to give you and you're going to overlook.
Yeah. And like, especially the final two episodes, it looks at a lot of things you wouldn't expect to be overlooked. Like these, everything kind of comes to head in episode 5 and 6, explaining everything, like all of the background, how we got here, what the, you know, the scenario was that led to this, and how we're going to get out of it. And nothing, I like the fact that while the ending is, I guess, a happy ending, it is not a there are no consequences to actions ending.
Yes.
Like, it takes everything that's happened in every situation as they are and doesn't try to say that, oh, yeah, you can wish your troubles away. That's not the purpose of this.
This was probably the best outcome that could have happened from it.
Yeah, without it being unrealistic.
Yeah, yeah. Like, everything still exists as it is, but this is...
It feels like it's about resilience rather than necessarily making things better.
Yeah.
The resilience to overcome trauma or bad situations, that you cannot necessarily change those situations, even if you could go back in time. And you know, so many people go, oh, if I could go back in time, I'd change this, I'd change that. Like, for everything I've gone through, I wouldn't go back and change anything because I wouldn't be the person I am today.
That's a certain level of maturity.
Yeah,
this because is true. A lot of people would gladly take away their pain, but then they forget that a lot of that is what makes them.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them kind, it makes them forgiving, it makes them patient. Mm-hmm. If you take all of that away, it just... you become entitled because you expect everything to work out for you.
You become the drone.
So, yeah, as much as terrible things suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing. Our conflicts and our challenges are what craft us as a person. Like, and for some people, some of those things are going to be real heavy.
Well, it's like parents used to say, hardships forge character.
And that's why we're so funny, apparently.
It's the trauma.
It's the trauma. But look, I don't know if this is necessarily an anime for everyone, but I think with the amount of talk that's been around it, especially with it only being a half season show, it deserves to have a light shone on it because it's a very unique type of show. It's not something we see come around very often, and it's also something that I feel like for the right person, it'll mean a lot too.
Yes.
You're going to have...
this is definitely someone's favorite anime.
Oh, yeah. And like, if you have a look on my anime list, it's very divided on the people that like it. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, wow, I really connected with this. And like, it is quite highly rated. I think it was on an 8.9. No. 7.78 for the manga, and the anime adaptation is currently on an 8.9. Yeah. And for the people who, if you have a look at both the manga recommendations reviews and the anime reviews, it's kind of the same sort of split. So about 75%, let's say 70% of people are like, yeah. And then it's 15% have mixed feelings and 15% say not recommended. That's on the anime. And it's pretty much almost the same on
the manga.
On the manga. It's 18 recommend, 11 with mixed feelings, and 4 not recommended. Okay, so maybe more people are recommending the manga or having mixed feelings on it compared. But there's only like 30 reviews there. So like, yeah. You know, versus 215. But yeah, like it's beautifully animated.
Oh, it's such a unique style.
It is. It's incredibly well done in that regard. Like, they use light and darkness very well.
And the lines capture a lot of emotion as well.
Mm-hmm. And they do a real good job of, like, showing people's behavior. Like, they do. Their faces are incredibly well animated. Like, it's, yeah. It's by no means small, like, a secondary thought. It was considered when they were creating this and going, wow. So yeah, it's really well written. It's really well animated. It's really well paced, I feel, as well. A lot happens very quickly at the end, but the pacing of it doesn't feel necessarily off. It's just like, it's a lot that needs to be wrapped up in this period. So we've balanced how quickly we approach each thing, it felt like, as opposed to it just being a rush job. Like, you get everything you need to out of it information-wise. They just do it in a way that some people might not like, if that makes sense. Like, they might go, oh, that felt too quick. But in retrospect, like, when we first watched it, I was like, it felt like it finished really quickly. But in retrospect, I go, no, we did cover everything. Like, we did kind of cover everything. There is a little bit of a question as to how
everything wraps up.
Yeah, to how we get from that final act to the final timeline, because obviously, as we mentioned, that there's that camera which does time travel, and it's used to muck around with things. But it's not, like, it does make sense if you think about it, but it does also feel like there's, as we said, a step missing to get from there to the end. And you know, I don't know if that's the same in the manga. I need to have a look. Can't believe I'm going to put myself through it again, but here we go. It's only 16 chapters. I could smash that out in an afternoon and then, you know, watch some city to cheer myself up.
I mean, looking back at it, it kind of makes sense because there'd be no reference point for him to know what was going to happen. And he wouldn't understand what was happening.
Yeah.
So I think because there's that, there's no real explanation.
I was thinking more about how actions which would technically have been erased from the timeline played into memories.
Ah.
Because, like, I understand some of it, but I also don't understand how those effects would last, if that makes sense.
Right.
There's a lot of questions around it, and I think it's probably more fleshed out in the manga, which is why I'm going to read it. I'm not saying it's a bad ending or anything like that. It's, like, it was well done.
It was a sweet ending.
Yeah. And it's not,
it was a bittersweet show.
It was very bittersweet. Yeah. And it's not about just going, oh, be miserable, or just, you know, here, let's shock our audience. Everything has a purpose in the story. It's, nothing is done for the sake of doing it for that shock value. So yeah, I think it's quite respectful of the subject matter and also explores it in a way that we don't really see very often in anime. Like, we have seen shows which explore dark and sad stories. Like, they've been there. Look at literally anything from Japan that looks at the after effects of war. Like, you know, brain just
Grave of the Fireflies,
but In This Corner of the Earth, which was about the bombing of Hiroshima. There's quite a few which go and look at the World War II effects, but there's not as many which kind of look at this sort of area. I'm trying to remember what the film was. Belle tried to do it and did a very poor job, if you remember. Like, she suddenly ran to Tokyo at the end of the film to save these boys, and it amounted to nothing. Because it's like, what's it going to do? Come on.
No. Got no idea. I didn't end up watching Belle.
Oh, really? I thought you did with us, but, like, I can't remember. It's quite a while ago now.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. But, yeah, no.
But yeah, I know I kind of gave it a bit of a slap, and I actually made a video calling it not good, and it is not good. Sorry. It was a cop-out. But look, if you do want to watch Takopi, Takopi's in Original Sin, it's on Netflix. Not Netflix, sorry. It's on Crunchyroll in most areas. It's not going to be an easy watch, and I would recommend watching it like on the weekend during the day so that you can then offset the emotions that come on with it afterwards with something else.
Get an emotional support plushie. A nice little happy blankie.
Mm. Or have someone watch it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
have a nice little hot chockey.
Just have another person there so you can both feel something.
Yeah. Man, I could go a hot chocolate.
I could go a hot chocolate, yeah. Let's go. Nice hot hojicha latte. I love my hojicha.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, like we're now thinking of how we can make ourselves happy again afterwards.
We need our comfort.
We do. But look, it is honestly one of the... This season, out of all the shows we've been watching, this one's just kind of stuck in my mind. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Dan to Dan. I love Kaiju Number 8. I love Dress Up Darling. I love a lot of these shows which have been coming out, but there's something about this that is just, it's deeply emotional, and it really is going to connect with a lot of people who have experienced trauma in some shape or form. And I think there's very few anime that do that well. So,
well, it sort of comes in and makes an impact.
It does.
All those other shows are doing like a prolonged story.
Yeah.
So like everything that happens in them, they sort of have to like, oh yeah, you know, this is happening, but it's not the worst thing. Mm. Whereas Takopi is just like, bam.
Yeah, it's a lot. And it doesn't overstay its welcome either, and I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Either way, watch it. If it is up your alley, have a look online at some of the reviews before you go in so you've got a bit more of an idea about it. Be careful for spoilers.
Yeah, I was going to say
this has been talked about quite a bit because it only finished about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago now. And it's...
Make time to watch episode one and then decide from there if it's for you.
Yeah. I think episode one...
Because it's a two-parter.
I don't know if I'd say episode one's the darkest. It's equally dark across all of the episodes.
Yeah, it sort of continues like...
It doesn't get any darker, but it doesn't get any lighter. Better, no. Yeah. So, yeah, it's something to take into consideration if you're going to watch it. And on that, you know, useless recommendation of how to approach it, we'll be right back.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story, compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
Well, what starts with C ends with L and is always having a controversy. It's Crunchyroll and they're back again announcing layoffs. I wish
Is there anyone left there?
Look, it sounds like something happened after the AI subtitles thing. So, look, we've got a couple of things going on here. Firstly, Crunchyroll got caught using ChatGPT for generating subtitles for some animes this season. I can't remember which one it was on, but it still had the ChatGPT response markers in it. And when that went out to air, people caught up on it, complained, and then, you know, something's happened inside Crunchyroll following that. Crunchyroll has, Variety has reported on Tuesday that a memo that Crunchyroll president Raul Perini sent out to staff, and it reveals that Crunchyroll is laying off a number of employees. Some employees will expand their scope, others will get new roles and assignments, and these changes are effective as of Tuesday in the US, which would have been a week ago at the time of recording, while layoffs in other countries will follow respective timelines and laws. Now, Perini also stated in the memo that the staff believes the right path forward is a new organizational model that supports regionally empowered teams to lean into an anime fandom even further. That doesn't sound bad, but that feels like a lie.
It's corpo talk.
It's corpo talk for we're getting rid of people and we're going to claim that we're going to hire more people in each of these other areas like Australia or the UK or Europe, but we actually won't because it says that, you know, people in those offices are also getting let go. It's like, okay. So
we got caught doing a naughty, so we're going to pretend to do something good.
Yeah. So as such, Crunchyroll will be building engineering hubs in the US, Mexico, and India to spark innovation and fuel transformation. Guys, you're a streaming platform who repackaged someone else's work. I'm sorry, but That is what Crunchyroll is. You are a distributor. You aren't going to innovate. You are going to use AI. That's what you're saying.
Do you remember back in the day of like YouTube where you could watch anime in 14 parts by fan subs?
Yeah.
Those fan subs were dope.
Fan subs were better than what Crunchyroll offers most of the time.
They used to give us fun little fonts and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would crash VLC sometimes.
Yeah.
apparently, it's also reevaluating how to strengthen its fan experience, which is why they've been offering for the past month $1 subscriptions to try and get people to sign back up to please watch Demon Slayer.
So, please watch Demon Slayer before it comes out in the cinemas next month.
Yeah. So Crunchyroll is an independently operated joint venture between US-based Sony Pictures Entertainment and Japan's Aniplex. So it's not independently operated at all. It's both Sony, because Sony Pictures Japan is Aniplex.
I was going to say, Sony is not an independent company.
No.
And it also
explains, just all Sony.
Yeah. It also explains why we're getting what we're getting out of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just bad. And also, like, I should point out, like, we've quoted Variety quite a few times over the years, but you go to Variety if you want no one to ask any hard questions.
Mm.
Like, Variety do not push the envelope when they're interviewing people. They're just kind of like, oh, that's nice, next thing.
It's like when you send your boyfriend to go get some gossip, and he's with his best friend, and he's like, yeah, man, I got dumped. And you're like, oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, right?
I'm sorry, I want more information. Why? When? Yeah. Like, what's going on? Like, are you seeing anyone new? Like, there's more information here.
Exactly. And this all comes around at the same time when Crunchyroll is partnering with Delta Airlines to offer anime as an in-flight entertainment service.
I remember us discussing this.
Yep.
Yeah, we had some fun little quips in our chat. About how this could go horribly wrong.
I mean, what a surprise. Like, oh my God, because, you know, Crunchyroll, they might say that they don't have stuff on their system anymore, but do you really believe Sony delete anything? Especially if it's something that's been produced by Aniplex, such as a certain interspecies reviewers.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely still on their servers.
And it's not hard for a kid to just swipe through and go, oh, that's pretty, and click on it.
Mm.
Because they're not going to read anything.
No, they're not.
And the next thing you know, little Timmy is seeing eggs come out of places.
No, they should not. Yeah, it's... look, this is going to be... They did not specify which series will be available, but at least 2,000... But teased 2,000 titles and 50,000 episodes. So that's mostly One Piece.
Yeah, I was going to say that's like, what, 90% One Piece?
It'll be One Piece, Naruto, Bleach...
Dragon Ball. Demon Slayer?
Demon Slayer, obviously. But what's the other one that came out? Black Clover. That's because that's also got quite a few episodes as well. Yeah, it's probably going to have quite a lot on there. But this is all coming at a time where Crunchyroll's just... They can't get a positive headline.
No. Like, we're going to lay off everyone, but we're going to pay an airline.
No, the airline's going to pay us.
Oh.
They get profit from that. It's a rights agreement. It's the same principle as selling the rights to a product to someone else to stream.
Oh, okay. I thought they were trying to get them to push it and promote it.
No. They're getting paid by them for it. Yeah. It's, look, Crunchyroll, we had hope when the merger occurred, but it was literally just Sony and Funimation getting a new jacket to hide under.
Mm-hmm.
And
being like, oh, no, everything's coming. Just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait.
Like, it's bad. Anyway, let's go bash Disney instead.
Where's that little mouse?
So Disney Plus is integrating the Hulu streaming service into a singular app with it. So both services are going to stream content on a brand new app launching in 2026. We don't know what that app's going to be called, but basically both apps, subscription services will remain standalone, but both Disney Plus and Hulu will be accessed from one app. I can see this causing a lot of confusion when you search in the app for something and it's only available on Hulu and not Disney Plus, and then it prompts you to enter your credit card details.
Yeah, that's going to suck.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah, and then Hulu, which has been a US-only streaming service, will replace Star internationally on Disney Plus in 2026. Why they have separate services within the same service? Like, did you guys not learn anything from Amazon Prime's attempt with Anime Strike?
Oh, man.
Like, hey, sign up for the service and pay more for another add-on service to access the stuff you actually want. No, you can't just pay for just that one. It's cable all over again, and it's just going to lead to more piracy. I'm saying it now. It's just going to lead to more privacy.
Because mm-hmm. streaming was supposed to defeat cable.
Yeah.
And now it's just repeating the same patterns.
Oh, it's like it's the same thing. Like whenever tech bros innovate, it's to replace something so that they can take that market. And like streaming was replacing, you know, cable so that they can take cable's revenue share. It's not meant to be cheaper. Why would you opt for less cash if you know you can mm-hmm. get everything? So wipe out cable. Look at Uber and ride sharing versus taxis. It's the exact same thing. Now they cost just as much, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? Oh, it was something that really annoyed me and I can't remember now, but yeah.
but yeah, anytime something new comes along and tries to undercut the market, it's to kill off the predecessors
mm-hmm.
and then take over the entire market.
Airbnb. And hotels. Yep. It's like, but now most of the time, hotels are actually cheaper than Airbnb and they're better looked after. So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I don't trust tech bros on anything. Oh yeah. And that's the other one. The electric car isn't actually here to save the planet. It's here to save the car industry. So yeah. Let's move on to more positive news. Discotech, our favorite Blu-ray releaser, has revealed 9 new upcoming licenses during its Otakon panel, which it held on Saturday a week and a bit ago. They're going to release the first 78 episodes of Shin-chan, Crayon Shin-chan anime on two, they call them SD Blu-ray discs. So standard. It's still standard definition because they can't upscale it. They did not reveal the release dates, but you know it'll match the same episodes of Funimation's earlier DVD release and include extras and outtakes from the episodes releases. And then Higurashi Kai and Rei, the two separate sequels to the original Higurashi When They Cry anime, is going to get their releases, which will have dramatically fixed subtitles compared to the previous English releases, because there was some discussions around them completely missing the point. We can't talk about that one.
Right.
Yep. Sergeant Frog, that weird little frog, is getting a release.
Oh, little yeah. froggy boy.
Zone of the Enders OVA series is coming. Zegapain, which I've mentioned before and we haven't really done, but Zegapain's getting its Blu-ray release, a full comp with its alongside the compilation film and the STA 2024 Zegapain STA anime. I didn't know about that. I have to look at that. And then the Digimon movies as well. Franchise's 4th, 5th, and 6th film on a single Blu-ray disc.
Return of Diaboromon.
Yeah, so Digimon 02, Revenge of Diaboromon, Digimon Tamers Adventures Battle, Digimon Tamers Movie 6, The Runaway Digimon Express.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Revenge of Diaboromon. Yeah. And Monster. This is an anime that we've been talking about doing an episode on for, I think, about 3 years. Monster is a highly psychological one. Our favorite energy drink. No, I like drywall crushed and put in a can. So Monster is about a Japanese brain surgeon in Japan, and he kind of becomes disenchanted by hospital politics and chooses to save the life of a young boy who got shot in the head over the life of the mayor, and it leads to all these sort of drama, horror, and psychological themes, and it's a lot, and it's a masterpiece. So that's coming out. It's 74 episodes. That's coming out in 2026. And then I think Aim for the Ace and Lupin the Third, Castle of Cagliostro, with a new English dub, all coming out as well. So there's a lot that's in the works. Oh, and they are going to release a new SD Blu-ray disc of the 27-episode US Mega Man cartoon. Yeah, with a newly fixed first episode that runs at the correct speed, which says a lot about the original releases that came out. So yeah. Oh, and Golden Boy too. like this just keeps going. I thought the list was short, but no, you just keep going and going and going.
Stop giving.
Yeah. So look, there's a lot on this list to look forward to.
If you want something fun to listen to, look up the Mega Man US opening, mm-hmm. but the German version. It's like this rave version of... It's wild.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's... Oh, man. I wish I could do it justice, but I know sure as hell I cannot.
Oh, fair enough. All right. We'll move on. Still in the streaming service and media service, but HBO Max is adding a whole heap of Japanese films to its library, anime and live action. They're adding Shin Godzilla, Your Name, Angel's Egg, Children Who Chase Lost Voices, Fireworks, Fortune Favors Lady Niku, Lonely Castle in the Mirror, which is actually on our list to watch. And then there's going to be a whole heap coming through 2025 and 2026 with Lou Over the Wall, Millennium Actress, Perfect Blue, Summer Wars, Boy and the Beast, Colors Within, Girl Who Leapt Through Time, Wolf Children. These are all exceptionally good Japanese films. So there's a lot in the works by the sounds of things over there. All right, guess what? We're finally heading to the cinema. We've got some cinema news. The first Demon Slayer Infinity Castle film has topped One Piece film Red as Japan's number 6 film of all time.
Suck that, One Piece.
Yeah. The film earned 22 billion yen in 25 days. So that's huge. It is a trilogy of films, the finale. So we can probably expect the next two to come up there as well, because I can tell you, having read the manga, as have you, it is good.
It only gets better.
Yeah. Is it the best of all time? No. But is it great? Yeah. just like we were talking about with Attack on Titan in the pre-show, yeah.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like, this is the first Infinity Castle of the Infinity Castle films.
Yeah.
It's also top Mugen Train as well for the best ever opening weekend box office, the best opening day box office, and the best single day box office. But Mugen Train's opening weekend box office was for 3 days instead of 4. So, like, you know, grain of salt.
Also inflation.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Is this controversy? Channing Tatum has joined the cast of Demon Slayer Infinity Castle in the dub.
It's a minor role.
It's a minor character, Keizo. So it's just like Magic Mike is in the Demon Castle.
I wish he played Magic Mike at the Demon Castle. That'd be hilarious.
That'd actually be an amazing anime. Like
Magic Mike in the Infinity Castle.
No, Magic Mike in the Demon Castle. It's like Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle, but it's just Channing Tatum running around and being stupid. Like,
and stripping.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the gag for every episode. He gets out of the whatever troublesome situation by doing a striptease. Yeah. So anyway.
Hire us, Crunchyroll. Everyone else. Hire us.
We've had the live action One Piece series has revealed season 3 is already in production. As well, with season 2 Into the Grand Line showing up shortly. Hello, Liger. You're being quite noisy, aren't you, buddy? We're almost done. We'll let you out. That's a lovely little cat, podcast cat Liger, deciding that he wants to leave the room right this instance. So new season premieres on Netflix next year. Should be a lot to go on there for One Piece, but it's looking good. Maiden Abyss franchise is getting an anime film series in 2026. This will probably wrap up the story for it. The manga's very close to done, like super close. So we'll see how it all pans out. And Isekai Quartet's got a third season in the works.
Huh.
Yep. And
I'm surprised that's going.
No, me too. Digimon Beat Break anime has revealed it's premiering on October 5th. That's next season.
Just in time for the new Digimon Time Stranger game.
Ah, that'll be why. Lining it up.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And finally, 'tis time for Torture Princess. The manga has finally come to an end. We really liked the anime series when it came out. I think it was 2 seasons back now. And
it was
a lot of fun. It's just really silly. Can recommend. Second season is in the works for 2026. And that's it for anime news that we wanted to talk about. But if you want more, go to Anime News Network. There's plenty to have a look at.
Kawaii Fire Radio.
I'm putting a cat out.
So now it's just you and me, listeners, so we're going to say some things that Kyle normally wouldn't let us.
No. We don't do that here. We're good boys. Goodest boys. I don't know. Look, it's... What is it now? It's like 8:30. It's time for games.
Yeah.
But that is where we're going to leave things for this episode. Thank you so much for watching, listening, and all the things in between, however you consume our media.
By, like, having us on the TV while you wash your dishes or whatever. Like, we see you.
We can see you.
We see you.
Good job.
You really dishes are looking good.
Smashed them out. Well done.
Proud of you.
I'm proud of you, son. Next time, Turkey. It's not about bowling, as it turns out, so we'll get stuck into that, but we're not sure how we're going to do this now. But next episode, we're talking about Turkey, so it's another Now featuring. Maybe we need another sting for currently airing, or just finished, or this year. Or
this season.
Yeah, we'll workshop it. We've got a few things we want to kind of mix up for next year. Nothing major, but we are going to make some tweaks around the place.
We're keeping it fresh just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, dishes person.
Yeah, just for you, dishes person. If you have enjoyed what you've heard, we'd love for you. Can you imagine if there is someone doing their dishes while we're doing this? If you have enjoyed what you've heard, make sure you subscribe. Join us for future episodes. This episode, the subscribe and like buttons have a happy camera hidden behind it with no charges left. You know what to do.
If you finish Takopi, you know what's up.
Yeah. If you are listening on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, the like button. Let us know your thoughts as well. Like, what have you watched Takopi? Did you like it? Did it traumatize you? Let us know in the comments section, because there's... it's a lot.
If you are doing your dishes, let us know in the comments as well.
With your wet hands. Destroy with your hands. Phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Suds and all. So, yeah, look, it's... it was a lot to watch, and I completely understand, because Kenny tapped out. He went, look, this isn't for me. And, like, that's fair. Like, yep, it's not for everyone. But, like, for us, it hit a spot. Like, it hit a chink in the armor that it got right in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that pain.
Yeah, it's like that little spot in the armpit where the chainmail isn't, like the fold is.
And it's like, oh, that's a little painful. I remember that. This is a familiar pain.
Yeah.
But yeah, like...
but also...
To be, like, perfectly honest, like, our lives are nowhere near as bad as those kids. They never have been. Like, we haven't gone through those traumas. But we've had other traumatic events which we dealt with, so... But... as always, you know, let us know what your thoughts are. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to talk about it more, jump over to the Discord. Otherwise, social media as well. As always, big thank you to our Patreon members. If you'd like to support the show, get access to more content. We do an extra pre-show, a mini podcast, which comes out with every major podcast episode. Also, outtakes and video extras. The links are in the episode description for Patreon. $1 a month gets you access to the audio feed, and you can follow us for major show updates there as well. So
that's where all the swears are.
Yeah, because we don't swear on the main channel. And you need a credit card to join Patreon. So, you know, we're good. Now, if you would like to join the community, socials, we're on them. We're just not on X, whatever, Twitter thing.
We broke up. They are our X.
They are our X. That's it. I hope you didn't get too traumatized from this one. And next time we'll be talking about a man who gets turned into a turkey. That's actually not what Turkey's about at all. We thought it was about getting three strikes in bowling. It's not that either.
Yeah.
So we have, I have no idea.
So either watch it and find out for yourself, or join us next time.
But I don't know if we'll actually be going into a bowling episode on this.
I would love to be there when you see episode two, because I'm going to give them a little teaser.
Apparently episode two, they don't mention bowling for like
14 minutes.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The anime about bowling doesn't mention it for 14 minutes.
My recommendation for it, I gave this to Kenny. He had a blast with it. Don't watch episode one. Start at episode two and tell me if you think it's a bowling episode. Bowling anime. Legitimately. Because it does... what's going on?
I can see this in my future, and it's traumatizing already.
Time for a time loop.
Oh, no. You've been listening to Qui-Fi Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, watch some anime.
Let's do the time warp again.
Oh, no.